there to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. And with thanksgiving, I'll be a living with you. Thanks you, Harry, for you. Amen, and amen, and amen. Just make me a sanctuary for the Lord, what I want to be. Amen. That's your desire? Good to be in the house of the Lord. If you'd like turning your scriptures, turn to Revelation 3. We'll read verse 14, and then we'll go to John 1, and then we'll go to Colossians 1. We'll try to just continue the thought on that we were on this morning. And I really never gave the thought, but, is the title. But what I was talking about, that all sons have a beginning. Then if you keep that in mind and get a right understanding, then it'll be clear. If you don't now, it'll be confusing because you'll be trying to figure out something and doing this, that, and the other, and don't do it. Just take what the prophet says and leave it on that basis and just follow, their own to see. You know, so just remember that. See, Sister Trudy's not here. Does she have to leave or something? Okay. All right. You know, sometimes she has to leave and you want to make sure and pray for her because she's got a long drive. Sometimes she's sick and won't tell us, and all about it. So just pray for her. Amen. Revelations 3, John 1, Colossians 1. Father, we thank you, we love you, and we cherish your great presence among us. And we know without you that it is truly just a meaningless gathering of people today. And Lord, we don't want to do that. We want to gather in your name. You said if we gathered in your name, you would be in our midst. And Lord, that you would be there to heal, to deliver, to guide each and every one. And just have your way, Lord. We thank you for all things. Thank you for thy word that you've revealed it to each one of us. Forgive our sins. Cleanse us and keep us, Father. And let your love be made manifest in Jesus' name. Amen. Very familiar with the scriptures that we're reading, so we'll tie it all together if we can. Revelation 3:14, and unto the angel of the church of the Lady of Sins write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now go back to John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now go to Colossians. Where we're reading. We'll start verse 13. Colossians 1. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, which is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Amen. Let's just do one more while we're at it. Go to John, 1 John 1. 1 John 1. Because it's actually the same. 1 John 1:1, in the first few verses, is the same thing in 1 John 1. But remember now, he's going to repeat the same thing. But remember, he's been to Patmos now. From the time maybe that he wrote John 1, because that was in the 50, maybe AD 50 or something, that he wrote John. Now he goes to Patmos, and then he comes back and writes the little John. So watch what he says in 1 John 1, 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Now, we know who that is, right? The Lord Jesus Christ. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. You may be seated. The Lord add His blessing to the reading of the Word. I just hope and pray that you'll think on what I'm trying to say, because I'm trying to say it in a way that, you know, trying to say the truth, but trying to say it in a way that will quicken to us, because the prophet said all the minister can do is just break the spell that Satan has over your eyes to where that God can speak to you. See, it's not something I can do. I can't reveal anything. Brother Branham couldn't reveal it. Jesus said even my own life didn't reveal that unto thee, talking to Peter. See, it takes the Father to reveal. So that's why the Holy Ghost is the most important thing in our lives. It's not whether we're this or whether we're that. It's whether we're born again. And if we're born again, then everything will be made right. Now, we talked this morning and we got to the point, and I want to repeat it again, just a little bit, and then we'll move on and try to, as I said, prove a lot of things as we're going along. Because I preached the basic part of the sermon of what I wanted you to see this morning, that God in His mind and His being and His person and who He was, back before the world, the great Elohim, the self-existing, is the only words you can have of it. The signifying that He existed alone, but He was there, the prophet said, with His attributes, with His thoughts, and that He never gained any attributes when He came to earth. He displayed the attributes. He always was the healer. He always was the Savior. They just wouldn't anything sick. There wasn't anything lost. He couldn't display it. But He was that just as well before the world as He is today. But now He's made it manifest. You see, all of those were there. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, all that was there in God before the world ever begun. You and I were there. Morning stars sang together, the sons of God shouted for joy. We were there, but what part was there? Not flesh, not our bodies. Now watch what I'm saying. Not our bodies, not our spirits, and not our souls. Not our person, not a being of us whatsoever in body, spirit, or soul, because you didn't come into the world with an eternal soul. You didn't come into the world with an eternal body, nor eternal spirit. All right. So then what was in God? It was a part of God. A Son of God, which was in part, was part of God. God's own life that He knew He was going to impart unto you and I. So when He gave us eternal life, now we're called the sons and daughters of the living God by the new birth. All right, but our body, spirit, and soul wasn't eternal nowhere, see? And that's where they're missing it in the message, because they're teaching that we come here with eternal life, and you ask them where it's at, and they'll say, well, it's that soul you've got. Well, then Jesus didn't have to die. If you have eternal life, see, He didn't. And that's what I want you, this is a statement I want you to write down and remember. Wade and I were talking a while ago while he's trying to run the things. When you're dealing with sonship, remember that you're dealing with redemption. Remember that. You're dealing with redemption. All right? And as long as redemption is being dealt with, you will be using the form of sonship. But when redemption is over, you won't throw away the sonship and say, we don't need that anymore. But it'll all be come right back to the same original position that it was before the world, and there He is with His attributes, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There He is with healer, Savior, all will be there, and we'll always know Him as to be that. But now when we get back there, I've got quotes in here to where that when we get to it, that you can't see God. God is a spirit. And Brother Brown said, God can't be seen and never will be. No. See, because he's spirit. All right? But now, then turn right back around. And like the little boy that asked his teacher, you know, and the Sunday school teacher and the pastor and everybody, could they see God? And, you know, well, no, you can't see God. And finally run up on the old fisherman, you know, and the old fisherman said, all I've ever seen in my life is God. Well, see, it's according to what you're looking from. You can see God if you're looking in the correct order, but when we get there, there won't be a halo up here and a pillar of fire over here and a dove floating around here and the son standing here and a father's throne over there, but nobody's sitting on it. It's just a throne, you know. Our Father. No, no. You'll see Jesus. But then you'll know why he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So when you see him, that will be the form that he'll always have to before you in understanding, will be the form that walked upon this earth in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he was in that form. Remember this morning, Moses saw the back part of the man that finally came on earth that we call Jesus. But he saw it in theophany. What was the first thing that come out of God? Theophany. So it wasn't a little halo of light. That's the prophet trying to express it. It was the theophany, he said, that went out. The Logos. In other words, there was the very being that Moses saw. Was the very one that stood there and said, let there be, let there be. Because that was the theophany form. See, that makes God real to me, if you're thinking about it. But you'll never lose that. When we get there, we won't forget about being in this world. We'll forget the bad part. The Bible said the former things will be passed away. See? The bad parts. You know, and always when I get to that, I always think about it. You know, my Brother Lincoln Barner, they got a church up there in Tennessee. But him and his brother got into a fight with a guy, and this is what always comes to me when I think of that. That, you know, the former things will be passed away, but it'll be funny. Have you ever, Danny, have you ever been thinking about it? Somebody told me, and he said, now, how'd you get hurt, Danny? Well, I fell off a chicken house. And here you go. You know, that's funny. You know, you begin to laugh. But you didn't do it when you first fell off. Because it's changed. But old Brother Lincoln and them, they got in a fight with a guy, and anyhow, one of them approached the other one and knocked the guy over, and they were supposed to got their signals together, and they got messed up, and they shoved the guy over, and one of them hit his brother across the back with a big old log chain. I mean, he said he walked like this for days. Well, you know, see, it had become funny. You know, I mean, it had become funny to him. Even the brother that went like that for days probably at the time didn't think it's funny, but after time was over with, see, you forget about your heartaches and sorrows, just like a woman having a baby, the Bible says. See? When the man child is born, she, you know, I mean, she's over with it, she's happy, you know. It don't mean she's still not hurting, but a happiness comes into being. See, that's the way I think it'll be when we get there. We can sit down in life and talk about what we've done while here on earth. We're going to have eternity to talk. See? Why can't we have a good time? We can say, hey, you know, down there in Lula, we had people from Guyana. We had Brazilians. We had them from everywhere, you know. Kenya. Always get a good life out of that one. You know, we can say we had an international church. People from all over the world come in. The little old place in Lula, Georgia, you know. I mean, we can just have fun, see. Sister Anna won't get upset with me when I say that wrong when we get there, see. But listen, when we make the circle and it comes back, sonship will abide until we make the circle. And then sonship won't be done away with. It won't be something to cast out or done away, you'll just come right back to where he'll be standing there. Whatever attribute that he ever had will be in him, and we'll be there. But you know what? There's going to be others out there. We were talking some of us outside today. There's going to be others out there that's going to receive eternal life too. You know, it's because you came. You know, they say if you hadn't have come, we wouldn't be here. Foolish virgins, filth-sealed Jews, etc., the people like that. 144,000 are going to get eternal life after we get out of here. And they're going to be there. They're going to be a lot more in heaven than just us. It's because of the way we come. The fall is not... God knew we was going to fall before he ever created anything. His first thought of us would have let him know we were going to fall. And he knows right till today, if he left us alone, we'd fall again. Oh, no, I won't. Don't be too much crowing. You might crow a little bit too loud. Because the devil might be asking God, does that person mean that? Let me have him a little while. So, that's the way it goes. But now listen. I just want to give you a few words, and then, as I said, we'll prove the point. We don't believe in eternal sonship. All right? See, now you say, well, that's just referring to Jesus, the flesh man, being eternal. No, because we didn't teach he was eternal anyway. We teach he had to be eternal, the body. The body had to be made eternal. It was not eternal. It was a creation. So it's not just eternal sonship dealing with Jesus, the human flesh. It's eternal sonship in the basis that they know the first thing that come out of God was the form called the Son. The Logos, the things, it would be that. And see, we don't believe in eternal sonship, but the Son of God, the Son of God that was made manifest, can be eternal. He is eternal. You say, that's just too close. You're saying we don't believe in eternal sonship and then say a son can be eternal. You have eternal life, don't you? You're called a son, aren't you? It's entirely different than what we think, see. Alright? The Son of God, the Son had a beginning. The theophany, the Logos, the form, had a beginning when it stepped out away from God. It had a time that it begun. See? But then when the circle is made and it's all taken right back, then the sonship is not eternal. The sonship is for time element or redemption element. All right, you understand what I'm saying? That's redemption. All right? See? Now, listen to what the prophet had to say. I gave you all of these, and we got so many of them, to I ain't no way in the world to read all of them, but look at number 20 on your notes. Now, you'll have that one. Because a little bit got left off on the other one that I didn't mean to. I had to do these again, not back there a while ago, but this morning. Look at the number 20, which is Hebrews, paragraph 176. Hebrews chapter 6 and 7, 1957, 0908 in the morning, right down to the last paragraph. God didn't have three people up there, and he sent one of them, his son. It was God himself come in the form of a son. A son has a beginning, and the son had a beginning, as some of you dear Catholic people, I got your book, Facts of Our Faith, said eternal sonship of God. How are you going to express that word? How are you going to make it have sense? How can it be eternal? Now, that's not the Bible. That's your book, Eternal Sonship. They don't. That word's not right. For anything that's a son had a beginning, and eternal has no beginning. So it is not eternal sonship. Christ became flesh and dwelt among us. He had a beginning. Wasn't no eternal sonship. It's the eternal Godhead, not sonship. Now, he came to redeem us, and he did redeem us. Eternal God, but not eternal sonship. All right? Now, if you look, I've got them in your things. It'll be on page 3 of the last ones that we run off. Page 3. One called Wisdom versus Faith, paragraph or page 14. Wisdom versus Faith, 1962-0401. Now here's a little thought for you. Everything that had a beginning has an ending. But it's the things that did not have a beginning that doesn't end. The only thing that's eternal. Therefore, I'd like to ask the question, how could we make sense out of the word of eternal sonship of God? If he was a son, he had a beginning. If he was eternal son, how could he be a son and be eternal? For son is a product of something. Now remember, he come out from God's here. But if he was could not be an eternal son. There's no such a thing, eternal son of God. Because if he never had a beginning, he cannot be nothing but eternal. But if he was a son, he had a beginning. So he cannot be an eternal son. It was the eternal God manifested in a son. See? Eternal God, because God is the only thing that's eternal. Alright, now that makes real good sense, don't it? Alright, look at the number one front page that we got of these four. It's a message called Thirsting for Life, 1957-630. The Logos that went out of God. Now you see, he's not talking about human flesh 2,000 years ago. All right, you got it? It's the first page of the last ones we gave out this morning. No disregards to Catholic people now, but the Catholic Church. My background, my family's Catholic. And I have the Catholic people here, the Catholic people here, the book called Facts of Our Faith. They use the word of eternal sonship of God. Their word don't even make sense to me. The word eternal means eternity, which had no beginning or has no end. And sons means had a beginning. So how could it? It could be a eternal Godship. Are you listening? Someone thirsting for faith, thirsting for life. But never an eternal sonship. A son is one that's begotten of, so it had a beginning. And the Logos, which was the Son of God, went out, created by these great fountains of purity. God, as though Spirit went and created Logos, it was a body. It was in the form of what we are now, which is called, in the clergy way of speaking it, a theophany. It's a body that doesn't have a spirit in it. It's a body that's waiting for you Christians. As soon as this life leaves this, you go into that body. When this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting, a theophany. All right? It's not eternal sonship. If you understand what he's saying and what I'm trying to say, once that part of God stepped out, the Son of God, the Logos, the theophany, to create, it was God in another form called a son. All right? Now, we go through life. We go through the redemption. We go through the ages. We go through time. And when we wind up finishing all things, then that sonship, it will just go right back in to being the same eternal God that was before the world. But he won't be by himself. We'll be with him. Because that's the plan of redemption. So we don't believe in eternal sonship. There's no such thing as the forgive me for words, I'm sorry. The Logos, the theophany, is God in another form. Called a son. The son signifies something that begun or started like a child, a son. But the eternal God could be made manifest in the form of the Word. That one that stood there that was a part of God was just as eternal as Almighty God is. And see, that's not oneness, because then that will always communicate back to what's in heaven, as we would call it, just as words, to be able to communicate. So they can always look backward. We'll always have someone to look back to. And see, even Jesus then could pray to his Father. Not just pray to the one that was within him, but pray to his Father. We're in the time of sonship. That was the thing that I've tried to get you to see what now for how many years? 1984. Then when I asked you when did the Son of God come into being, and you all said, he come into being 2,000 years ago. And I said, well, I can't go on with Son of Man because your mind is locked on Son of God in the wrong position. But just remember, the Son of God was the first form of God that come out. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. The form that come out was God in another amorphy, a mask. Same person changing the mask. The person's eternal. But the mask is for a time. Right? You play the parts of a play. You change your mask. When that's over, you're through with that. But you don't have to throw it all away, because even when you come to the last act of the play, the only way to truly be in the last act of the play, if Danny played four parts, then on the stage he would be holding three more, garments or mask. He would be standing there with holding three and him being one, because that was the parts of the play he played. The mask is what's not eternal. The mask is the Son. But the eternal God was made manifest. We believe in eternal Godhead. Believe in eternal God made manifest, but not eternal sonship. Don't get hung up on thinking of eternal sonship being about Jesus. The flesh. We don't believe that anyway. The Catholics evidently don't believe that. Because if they did, why would they want Mary to be the mother of God? So they're not hung up on that, and I told you at Nicene Council, they wasn't arguing over whether Jesus the flesh was a like substance. They were arguing over the Godhead in the basis of the Son. If you don't have a Scofield Bible after the services, I don't agree with him in all he says, but after the service I'll be glad to sit down with you and go through where he covers the Logos, the Theophany, the thing, probably where Brother Branham, without the education, he probably read a lot of it. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him of what was right. He quotes Scofield a lot. See, the theologians knew the Creator was the Son of God. They would call it Logos, Theophany, speech. But I'm just trying to get you to see that the eternal God was made manifest. That way you're not a oneness, because here comes to earth something that can be with us throughout the world and take us back into eternity, and we still have a Father. I can still pray today and say, my Father which art in heaven. Because if you're not and you're oneness, you pray, my Father which come out of heaven. Ain't in heaven no more. He's here. Sure, then you can talk about God being in here. Amen. But just remember, there's a God ruling all things. It's right now talking to Satan. Satan can get an audience. That's one thing I don't like. I don't like the fact that he can get an audience with God and talk to him, when sometimes I pray and don't seem to be able to get one. I'm just honest. Now, you may think that's silly, but I'm just honest. I like to talk to him sometimes and seem like it. I know if the line's not busy, the line's busy on my end. I know where the problem's at. The bug on my end's where the trouble's at, but I'd like to get that out of the way, because Satan can go have an audience with him, and I'm standing out here, can't even knock on the door. But it's my problem. That's the reason I don't like it. Because it's in me. It's not in God. There ain't no line busy there. But see, to understand one true and living God without going into the oneness or the Trinity, this is the only way I can see it. Now, I can take any scripture you got in the Bible. Come and let's talk about it. Any quote Brother Random makes, come and let's talk about it. Well, Brother Dale, you were talking about all God was. Brother Brown said all God was, he poured into Jesus. And all Jesus poured into flesh. Amen, I agree with that. Because he knows what he's talking about. But he wasn't talking about all God. As I said this morning, he wasn't talking about all God poured into Jesus. He ain't got no God no more. He only got Jesus. And all Jesus in the Christ in the church, and you ain't got no God left. You just got your church. See? Now you're off the Word. You've got to leave. Get this, please. It's got to be left that we can always have someone we pray to. Not just in here, because why pray? And I have seen many prayers answered that I never whispered a word out loud. It was what I was thinking that brought it to pass. Seen healing happen that would not even word whispered. Because that's the Holy Ghost connecting with us. Sure. Because God is in here. I believe the new birth is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost living in you in the person of Jesus Christ. It's not just the Son in you and the Father over here and the Holy Ghost anointing. Now, if you're anointed ones, it is. That's where the trouble's at. The anointed ones can be anointed with the Spirit of God and do great things, but their soul is still black as soot. They're not Christian. All right, but just listen. All right, now, don't get hung up, as I kept emphasizing this morning, where it says in John, in the beginning was the Word was with God. To me, that's there for the purpose of showing you exactly what I'm talking about. That there in the beginning was great self-existing Elohim, and out of him came a part of him in the form called a son, and now they were together, but not as two people. Not as two personalities. No, it was the great eternal manifesting what he was going to bring to flesh. Then all of God that was back there, that came out from God, was what we need for the plan of redemption. Because when we get there, I gave you the quotes in there, if I don't get to them this evening, you read them, where the prophet is covering how that even through the endless ages, there'll be a message about the eternal God. Wonderful plan of redemption. All right, let's go on because I'll get caught on it and I won't do it. See? Don't fool with the Word or toy with the Word with, because that's got to be there. See? Jesus said, I'll be with you. Right? But then what did he say? Even in you. Now, when he's with you in the form of the new birth, where's he at? He's in you. But what did the prophet say? It's God in you together and there's persons. Living in your soul is God in you together as persons. That's easily used with then. But it's not with like two different ones. I can carry it further now, but I choose not to because it would get into too wrong. But I will give you another definition of the word with. You go look it up. It means conjoining. I won't go any further because there ain't no need of it. It wouldn't help you none. If you can't see it, what I said, it wouldn't help you to get on conjoining. You can go look it up, conjoining. Because that's what it leads it out to. And there's a whole lot more definitions to with than just what we think. With. Father and Son is with. But when it was like that, and the communication between the Son, the theophany, and the great eternal self-existing, it can easily be said, then, let us make man. It can easily be said, let us make man. Why? Because of the communication. Because as long as you're here, you're going to have a communication link somewhere else. Science has proven those things. Look at their communication. But let's go. Let's get into the message. Now remember, we got down this morning and really into to the reading on page 1617 of the attitude and who God is. To where, Brother Brown said, a part of God went out. And that's not like an arm falling off or a leg running off or whatever. It's what God is to make manifest upon the earth came out in the form of the Word. Now listen, I don't have time to cover it, but we will later. The prophet said, He was the Word in the beginning. He said, but you come straight from attribute to flesh. You was not the Word. But now turn right back around. Give you another quote. See? He said, if you was not part of the Word in the beginning, you never will be part of the Word. Now, is that contrary? No. It's exactly true. But what is it? We never come in Word form. Get it? Then read, who is this Melchizedek? We never came in theophany Word form. He stepped out from Almighty God into Word form, a body standing there that Moses saw later. The back part of a man, a theophany. You and I never come in that way, but we was in Him when He come that way. Now if you're not, you'll never will get nowhere. If He was all the Word, and you're part of the Word, you had to be in Him. But you get what the prophet's saying? You bypassed the theophany. What? You bypassed standing there in a Word form. It wasn't Him standing there, Danny standing here, me standing here, Dick here. You know, we didn't come that way. But where was we at? Eternal life was in that theophany, right? And if you ever have eternal life, you were in that eternal life. See, that way you was in the, you always was a part of the Word. But you knew it and stepped out as a theophany. We stepped out now as that. By the new birth, I believe the prophet, page 8 of the Hebrew book, that your soul is your theophany. By the new birth, my theophany is not up in heaven. It is in me right now. And I'm walking toward the fullness. That's what the rapture will take. I know that's not agreeable to a lot out there. Go ahead, though. But when you hear that, you better go check what I was reading. Because when he's preaching, who is this Melchizedek? He wasn't preaching. In 1957, on the Hebrew book, Brother Brown was preaching who Melchizedek was. He said he was Almighty God. He spent messages on it of Almighty God. But when he comes there in 65 or what it is, who is this Melchizedek? Not who was. Who is this Melchizedek? Who is this Melchizedek I'm looking at right now? It's the body of Jesus Christ. It's the same one in John where it said, the one in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, like unto the Son of Man, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. You see why it's so hard? You think I just preach slow? You realize I just went through in the message today what I've got to back up now. And go through to get to Revelations 4 and 5 to put him back on the throne and to see all of that. That's how eternal the Word is. It just never ends. It just keeps unfolding. The more you walk in, it just keeps unfolding. All right, but what did he say? A part of God went out. We read in the Hebrew book, 1957. Hebrews chapter 1. We read that this morning. That he was part of God. A part of God went out. Which was the Logos, the speech, the theophany, the part of God. That God was going to make manifest went out. It was called a Son. Now we're going to start from there. Because I wrote it like this. Now let's establish the Son was the Creator. Now, and I'm not talking about Jesus. I'm not talking about Jesus. Alright? So we get back to our notes now. We were on 1, 2, and 3. We finished those up. Look at your notes on number 4. This is Resurrection of Lazarus, 1951, 0729A. Two paragraphs. God is just like the air. Now remember, he said later that God is a being. He's not saying here that God is not a being. He's just emphasizing him like the air. Because he said he's a being. He's not like the wind. He fills all the universe because that's who he is. He's Almighty God. His son has to be born of. So the Logos, which was the Son of God that went out of God, that brooded over the earth. Now let's just picture that as being a white halo coming out of that space. That was the Son of God, the Logos, and there it was in space moving like a child, little child, playing before the door of its parents, and he drawed out in his mind what should be. Like a little child playing before his parents. That's something, isn't it? Keep on reading. Number 5 on your note, which is Life, 1957, 0602. Paragraph, or E22. Let's close our eyes to imaginations for a few moments. Go way back in before there was anything. The great fountain of all eternity was that spirit of love, joy, that spirit of honesty, that spirit of trueness and this perfection. And then out of the existence of the Father went the Logos, which was the Son, which was the Theophany, which was the body of that great Jehovah God, went into a celestial body, that's the Logos. The Word spoke out of them great fountains of life and went forward, and there was a Theophany, which was God made into Word. God made into Word. Now, if you would, if you get the questions and answers in Genesis, just read the first one on the questions and answers in Genesis, you'll have the whole message. If you get the conduct, order, and doctrine, the first one in it is a question and answer on Genesis, and get that and just read it, you'll have the whole thing. Because here is just one of two, I think, I picked off of. Question and answer on Genesis, 1953, 0729. Now, if God created man in his own image and his own likeness, what kind of a man did he create? A spirit man. Now, if you'll notice, after he had made all the creation and created a spirit man, the close reading of this now to the one that asked the question will find this, that God gave dominion of the cattle and the fishes and everything to the man. But in his makeup out there, he made man in his own image to lead the cattle, lead the beasts of the field, and just like the Holy Spirit leads the believer today. He was, in other words, Adam, the first man in lower creation of God. The first creation was God himself. And he doesn't have problems using words like that. Then out of God came the Logos, which was the Son of God. Then out of the Logos, which was the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, out of the Logos came forth the man. Now that's the spiritual man of Genesis 1, 26 and 27, right? So you go right on down reading and just drop down a paragraph where he covers the little halo, spiritual light, standing on a great banister watching what God's doing. Now, no one has seen God. Now the next thing we begin to see by eyes of supernatural looking, we see a little white light forming out there. What is that? That was called by the Bible readers Logos, or the anointed, or the anointing, or the, as I was going to say, the part of God began to develop into something so human beings could have some type of an idea what it was. It was a little light moving. That was the Word of God. Now God gave himself birth to this Son, which was before there was even an Adam or heir to make an Adam. That was, see, Jesus said, glorify me, Father, with the glory that we had before the foundation of the world. See, way back in yonder. Now Jesus, the body, wasn't back before the world. So who was standing on earth that said, glorify me with the glory that I had with thee before the world? The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the flesh. You see why I keep telling you? Don't jump over. Stay with me. Page 331, number 8 on your notes. Ladies, see in church age, this is the salutation. That's what we've been on for a while. Revelation 3:14. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Isn't that the most wonderful description of the attributes of our lovely Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? These words just make me want to shout. They bring such a spirit of reality into my heart. Just reading them without even waiting for a thorough revelation of the Spirit upon them thrills me. Now the next is just a continuation, so just flip over. It goes over to 3:32. That was the end of 3:31. Jesus is giving us this description in himself in relation to the last age. The days of grace are winding up. He has looked from the first century right down to the 20th and told us all things concerning these ages. Before he reveals the characteristics of this last age to us, he gives us one final look at his own gracious supreme deity. This is the capstone revelation of himself. Right? This is the capstone revelation of himself. You remember what I told you? No church age in their salutation got what we get. We get the declaration in the salutation. You remember the salutation to the angel church or so and so and so and so? But what's the license? The beginning of the creation of God, which goes right straight into who you are, because he's the beginning of the creation of God. By the new birth, you're the rest of that creation. Brother Brown said, and I'll give it to you later, he said, this is a special designation of himself. This has to do with the church. It comes right down to you, into the bride form. But listen. Resurrection of Lazarus, 1953, 11:22. But now in the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he's such a great person. There never was one ever on the earth like him, and there never will be one like him. He was the only begotten Son of Almighty God, meaning the only created one. He was the only one created. Listen. We are sons by adoption through him, but he is God's only begotten Son. Adam was God's son. Do you believe that? He was God's creative son, but this is his begotten, God begotten his son. See, now that's before the world, but then into human flesh. Because he was the beginning of the creation of God back in before the world ever begun. And when he come into flesh, we'll get to that later. I got the quotes back there for it. Brother Brown said, where did he become a creation? He said, in the womb of Mary. That's when he becomes into creation. Go right on down to the next. Show us the Father. It'll satisfy. 1953-0610. And there he came out. There was nothing. And then here come the Logos that looked like a halo hanging yonder. No man has seen God at any time now, eye to eye. And here's the Logos. Look like it's a supernatural being. It's a halo. That's the Son of God. Not eternal sonship, because the words don't go good together. That's Catholic doctrine. But eternal. How could it be a sonship and be eternal? If he's a son, he had to have a beginning of time. Eternal's forever, see. So eternal sonship, there's no such a word to make that sensible. But it was the Logos that went out of God. And there he was playing out there in space like a child before the door. I can see him draw the whole picture in his mind of the kingdom and what it might be. Now this is a continuation of the reading, so just keep on. And when he made everything that looked nice and good to him, now he said, let us, plural, make man, plural, in our own image. What was he? There is a supernatural being. There's the one that could not be seen. God the Father never was seen, never will be seen. Now, I'd underline that and take it home and think about it. He's all nature. And there he is. And now here's the Son, which is the Logos that went out of him, made in his image a supernatural being that went out in the beginning. I would take that home and I'd pray about it a lot. Because he'll never be seen. Because the Bible said no man has seen God. But the only begotten of the Father hath declared him, or brought him out into the open, or revealed him, or made him known. But once he was made known, that's what confuses mankind. See, when the time come for the Messiah to have been born, we're just illustrating it, and say they had a certain time and they had it figured out the Messiah was to be born, it would have been no problem had they all been standing out there and the Pharisees and Caiaphas and all of them said, well, you know, we know when it's supposed to be. It's going to be a certain time of the day, a certain day. And it wouldn't have been any problem if they'd have been standing out there, and all at once heaven just goes, ooh, just opens up, you know. And this here comes this Spirit. It just flows down to earth. They just said, that's Almighty God. Right? Something could just come down like an alien from outer space, you know. Just come down. Somebody raises up to draw back a spear and throw it at him, he's going, this is absent. You know. They fall down. That's God. But it didn't come that way, did it? It come the way the Bible said it would come. To a virgin named Mary. That would bring into the world a body that God could come and live in. And His soul is Almighty God and His spirit is Almighty God dwelling in human flesh. Right? But who did that wind up being? Listen. Look at number 11 on your notes. Questions and answers on Genesis 53:7-29. Now see, no man has seen the Father at any time. No man can see God in the bodily form. And number 11 on the notes, we just keep going on down and get it. Because God is not in bodily form. Now listen to your prophet explain. God is a spirit. See? All right? No man has seen the Father, but the only begotten of the Father has declared Him. He goes back to space and all kind of things that there is. But no man has seen God in a bodily form. Now watch what I'm saying. Be careful now. Because the theophany was a bodily form. Melchizedek was in a bodily form. Jesus was in a bodily form. What's Brother Brown saying? God has not shown Himself in a bodily form. He took a form to reveal Himself. Call it a son. He took a form to reveal Himself. That way the Son hath declared Him. That really declared means, Brother Brown explained one day, it's like bringing it something that's undercover and it's brought out in the open to where you can see it. That's why Jesus could stand there and say, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Well, see, they couldn't look through that flesh. But them Jews, now, they knowed He was talking enough about being God till they killed Him because they said, you're a man making yourself God. Right? They knew He was declaring who He was, that if He was saying He was the Son of God, then the Son of God would be God. They knew what He was talking about. But you see what the prophet is bringing it to? Go on down in Hebrews chapter number 12 on your notes. Hebrews chapter 7, part 1, 1957-0915 in the evening. Now this body that He had, He created, it had been brought through a woman. So with that created body, He could not, somebody, He'd made Himself to reveal Himself. Don't you read it? Brother Branham may stumble a lot, but in his stumbling, you better be careful, because he's saying something. He's just like I am. Sometimes I'm stumbling trying to find out how to say it. It sounds like he's just stumbling. He said, well, Brother Branham, there, just stumbling. See? So with that created body that he could not, somebody, he'd made himself to reveal himself. He brought himself out in the open. No man can see God at any time. God is a spirit. Mortal eyes doesn't see those things. Unless it's in a form like the pillar of fire, or whatever it was, or in the form of some being that they seen by vision. But God has to reveal Himself through some way. And God revealed Himself to Abraham in the form of a man. He revealed Himself to Moses in the form of a man. He revealed Himself to the children of Israel in the form of a pillar of fire. He revealed Himself unto John the Baptist in the form of a dove. You see, He revealed Himself in those forms. When He was revealing Himself in the form of a man as King of Salem, of Jerusalem, not of eternal Jerusalem, but the heavenly Jerusalem, He revealed himself in that form. He was made like unto the Son of God. That's a very valuable one if you need to keep. Number 13, preparation, 1953, 11-11. Let's take a little mental trip tonight, you and I, and let's go back before there even was a star in the heaven, for there was even wasn't anything. Sitting way back in eternity, that was God. And then going out of God, or God unfolding Himself, come to Logos, which was the Son of God, or the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, Logos. Now watch, we're seeing God unfold Himself. Then He says in Genesis, let us make man in our own image. What kind of a man was he? He had to be a spirit man. And then He put him in five senses to contact this earthly home. He might have given him a foot like a bear, hand like a monkey. I don't know what he did. Keep on going. 14. Thirsting for life, 1957, 6:30. The Logos that went out of God has no disregards to Catholic people, but the Catholic Church, and my background, I read this a while ago, but we want it right here. Call facts of our faith, and they use the word eternal Son of God. Sonship of God. The word don't even make sense to me. The word eternal means eternity, which had no beginning or has no end, and Son means had a beginning. So how could it could be a eternal Godship, but never an eternal Sonship? A Son is one that's begotten of, so it had a beginning. And the Logos, which was the Son of God, went out, created by these fountains of purity. God, as those spirits, went out and created the Logos. And it was a body. It was in the form of what we are now, which is called, in the clergy way of speaking, it a theophany. It's a body that doesn't have a spirit. It's a body that's waiting for you, Christians, as soon as this life's over. See, I read that, but I wanted to reread it to you. Because I want you to get that part. See? The part of Word that it's talking about, God created. Okay? Now, number 15 is a combination of a good many. Number 15A is something I want you to think about. Because this is to prove that Brother Branham is showing you that there's more to be revealed of God than what you and I get in this world. And to prove then that you say all God was, He poured into Christ and all Christ in the church, has to have a meaning for a time element wise. But when we get to eternity, what is it going to be? A wonderful time. You think we've had times coming to church and time that the Lord has spoken to you, you know, in the church and revealed to you or spoken to you somewhere, and you just think of how eternity just for a flash comes into your presence and you just see something that is so wonderful and you can't even explain it. It is so great. Now listen to what your prophet has to say, because I picked these up extra. Mark of the Beast, 1956, 07:15. As I told you, standing at the Statue of Liberty one time, little birds laying all around and things around a big light there. And I said to the one, what did this? He said, last night there was a storm. And the little birds were flying right into the light, trying to put it out. Instead of taking the light as it searched out, go to safety, they tried to beat the light out, and they beat their brains out. And I said, praise the Lord. I hope you hadn't read that part. He said, the little birds flew in to beat their brains out. He said, praise the Lord. The man evidently said, what's the matter with you? I said, I was thinking of all those infidelic, lukewarm, borderline preachers and believers trying to put the true gospel light out. You'll beat your brains out, and God's gospel will shine through eternal ages. It'll do it. Why don't you step in the light and let it take you to safety? It'll bring you right into a knothole in the rock. That's right. He said, those infidelic preachers trying to put out You remember what Jesus said? He said, you stand in the door, you won't go in, and you won't let them go in. That's what Jesus said about it. But who's the door? Jesus Christ. They get right into the revelation of the hour in this message and close you off from eternal life. Now, you think that ought not make us upset. I'm fighting for my life and yours. I ought to have a right to be upset. Somebody that's taking God's word and twisting it and confusing the people. You wouldn't have no trouble in us being upset about the Russians trying to take over, would you? You don't have no trouble about the Mohammedans trying to take over and convince us of some kind of Mohammed doctrine, do you? Well, what about the rest of it? Now listen to what he says. Page 211, Church Age Book. Now then, there is also the thought of future partaking of the hidden manna. Are you reading with him? Now there is also the thought of the future partaking of the hidden manna. I think it will be the eternal partaking of the revelation of Jesus Christ in the eternal ages to come. Now you think you're going to exhaust everything here? That's what he's proving. How else could we begin to know the unsearchable riches of his own being? All that we have longed to know. All our unanswered questions. All that will be revealed. It will be from Christ, who is our life, that we receive it. Oh, sometimes we think we get to know him, know a little of him and his word down here. And it is so good. It makes us rejoice. But one day, when our flesh changes, that word and he will become what we had never dreamed possible. That's after we leave this world. Page 241, 242, Church Age Book. If ever a people needed a promise embracing the land where there is no night, it was the people of the Dark Ages. That is why the Spirit is promising them the morning star. He is telling them that the chief star, even Jesus, who dwelleth in light unto which no man can approach, will in the future kingdom illuminate them by his own personal presence. He will not be using the star's messengers to give light in darkness any longer. It will be Jesus himself speaking to them face to face as he shares his kingdom with them. It is the morning star that is visible when the light of sun commences to shine. When our son Jesus comes, there will be no further need of messengers. He will bring us his message of cheer himself. As he rules his kingdom and we live in his presence, the light of the word will become brighter and brighter in that our perfect day. But see, you get hung up on words. The prophet said, one day we get out of here, then we'll see the word open. But yet people, preachers, preach, all God was. All now. All means all. That's every bit. Not knowing there are oneness. And doing away with the great eternal God that will be in glory. Could it be that they have the spirit to think that they will be that eternal God? Could it be that? I gave you some more quotes. You read the rest of them. I think enough has been said. We talk about immorphy. I gave you some on that because we're going to start on that, Lord willing, Wednesday or somewhere. Meaning changed in form. God has changed in form to make himself known. The same God. The eternal God. Changed in form to make himself known, to reveal himself. The Son hath declared him or brought him out into the open. But one day, that sonship will be brought back in to where everything will be back in to the one true and living God. Now let me say it to you like this. That's why I said I wish we had a picture that we could have drawn it out. Because there's brothers that you can turn on your computer and run them and you'll find them expressing all of these great happenings. But watch the way they express it. Discussing it a while ago with Brother Ray. If you want to, be glad for you to see it. So when they bring out all this about the Logos and the different things, they have this big light that goes across. But you know what it does? Beautiful looking, because it just swoops across into it. But you know what? It leaves a black space back over there where they started at. No way. No way. Can't be. You never saw me one time this morning take away from the finality of leaving something to come back to, even when I had to borrow more things to do it with. You'll never do away with that. But see, they think it's a great revelation. It's a beautiful picture of this light that just goes across and then comes out. But you see, they leave an empty hole back there. Because when I was bringing it this morning, I never left no empty hole. Out of God come the Son, the Logos. There He still is. He began to create. He began to make manifest. There is still one watching over. There's still one that's not been made known. There's still an eternal God that has not made Himself fully known unto you and I. Only what we need while we're in this world. And no matter if you bring all of these down as I brought them when we brought it into Jesus Christ and come on into bride form, we still left this here. Because see, then that way we can all go back to here. That God may be all in all. Because you're a part of it. Let's see, I'll find it in a minute in my mind. I believe it's God of this evil age. I believe it's right. He said that God is not complete without you. Why? Because you have the new birth. You have His own life. He imparted His life into you, which is part of His own life. You'll never do away with that being. But those pictures, oh, they look so beautiful because they just got this to be here and then this over to here. But you leave an empty hole. It goes to prove you don't know what you're talking about. You got to leave it that He can be all and rule all, and that the sonship one day will be subject, because it'll just bring it all right back into one. When it comes back into one thing, it'll be in glory. And then we can take it and get what the prophet we read there to Elias, the message of cheer can be given to us down through the endless ages of eternity, that He can reveal Himself to us. Brother Brown said, you think you know it all when you see things, but he said, one day. In other words, let me put it in my words. What we're getting here in this world is just partial realization. I know that won't be liked by people, but partial realization, because it'll be made perfect realization in that perfect day. But it'll be enough. All God was, He poured into Christ, all Christ into the church. That's enough. But that don't do away with the great eternal, the self-existing. That don't do away with heaven. You can preach heaven is on earth. That's true. I'm not trying to go to heaven. I'm trying to bring heaven to earth. But I realize in trying to bring heaven to earth, I'm not emptying heaven. You know what I mean? The prophet, there's a quote, Brother Run said, there won't be nothing in heaven because it'd be empty. But that don't do away with heaven. He didn't say heaven was coming. Heaven is coming in a spiritual condition in you. But there's still a literal heaven. Now let's end it with this thought. Where does the future come from? When it will be finality upon this earth. But where does it come from? Come on, where's the future home come from? John saw it coming down out of heaven. The future home comes down out of heaven. And heaven consists of the Word. Don't you worry about ever exhausting God's eternal Word. Don't ever let some kind of a spirit get on you that you think you know everything. Because just about the time you think you know everything, God's fixing to strip you down and show you what you don't know. Brother Moat used to say it, and the Bible says, let's see, what is the man ought to know? Something about what he ought to know. I can't remember. Brother Moat had a way of quoting that. You ought to know what you ought to know. You ought to know that you don't know nothing. I realize everything I have, God has given me. I have nothing on my own. I haven't studied this message out. He has revealed it to me. And all I can do is speak to you about what He's revealed to me. To get you to see the God that I see. Because the only wise God, immortal, eternal, has manifested Himself to reveal Himself to you and I. When the plan of redemption's over, Danny, we'll stand there with Him. But I'll say it again, it won't be a light over here and a cloud over here and a pillar of fire over there and a father over here and a chair over there. No. I'll be glad to find you the quote where Brother Brown said, Jesus will lead us. You know what He said? Evidently something happens. I just thought of the quote because I know it's there. He said, in the millennium, that Jesus will lead us up to the place and we'll bow down and say, Papa God, if you hadn't come. If you hadn't come. Sonship lasts a long time, and you will never do away with it in eternity. Because the nail prints will be in the hands of the one that you'll see and realize that He's Almighty God. Those nail prints will never be removed. But an eternal God that can sit down. What about... Wouldn't it have been something, Danny, to have been able to walk with Jesus along the shores of Galilee? Even to not understand Him, it would have been a wonderful time to sit down and just listen to Him talk about eternal life. Talk about heaven and Father and to teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Wouldn't it have been something to have sat there? Wouldn't it have been something to have had an audience with Brother Branham to have been able to sit out in the woods, maybe around a campfire, and maybe just, they said, he just said, talk. Wouldn't that be something? To just sit there and listen to Him talk about what God meant to him. And I like what Brother Perry Green said. He told him. He said, Brother Perry, when you're praying, and you're talking to Almighty God in prayer, said, tell Him I love Him. How many days goes by that you don't tell your husband or wife that you love them? Oh, I know, we like the jokes, but jokes don't work in the Word of God. We like the joke. I told her 30 years ago, she ought to know it. I ain't changed my mind. If I do, I'll tell her. The last thing my wife and I say at night is, I love you. But if you ever told Him you love Him, if you ever seriously got down and said, God, I love you. If you send me to hell, I love you. You ever talked to Him like that? How many of you ever told your kids every day? My mother loved me, raised me. I appreciate that. I honored, always have, because being raised without a daddy. But you know, I never remember my mother ever saying, I love you. I never remember it in my life. How many of you tell your children every day that you love them? Our kids is at the house sometimes two, three times, four times a week. What's the last thing said, kids, when we all leave? I love you. You know, it might stop a little hatreds and arrogance and tempers and things sometimes if you might just use that word, I love you. You know what? I mean, it's kind of hard for Brother David, you know. It would be hard for him to be telling me often. I said, Brother David, I love you. I love you, brother. And every time he says something, I love you. After a while, he's going to get worried. He's going to say, forget it. Because all he's going to say is, I love you. Is anything wrong with that? I'm not mushy. How come you like for somebody to tell you that they love you if you're not mushy? Come on. You say, I'm not a mushy person. Well, you like for somebody else to pat you on the back, don't you, Danny? But Danny, I love you. Well, you know, to have friends, you must be friendly. Or have someone to love you, you must love them. That's what I've tried to tell you. Like all of the little children. How come all the little children love Terrence and Lisa? How come all of the little kids love Terrence and Lisa? Because they're always doing something with them. You want your kids to love you like they love Terrence and Lisa? Do with them what Terrence and Lisa does. When you're out goofing off and playing or doing whatever you want to do, they're sitting down with them, playing games and doing that. Children know whether you love them or not. And if they know you love them, you can pick that child up and spank it. You can say, you're wrong about doing that, and I don't do it no more. But what's the first thing they'll do? They'll reach right back and hug your neck. Because they know you love them. The only one that ever says anything about me whooping them is Zachary. And I really laid it on him one day. I probably hit him about that hard one time. But yet he still remembers it today. But he knows one thing for certain. He knows I love him. That's the one thing he knows. The others can't even say, Papa loved me enough to spank me. But the rest of them wasn't aggravating enough to get on my ladder and wouldn't let me climb up and down all the time. Because a lot of you heard me tell the story. I'd put up vinyl, and he's 2 years old, and I'd put vinyl up. I'd hang up this side of it and run up down and go over the other ladder and go up and hang the vinyl by myself. My wife get it up as high as she could go, and then I'd do it by myself. Zachary, every time I'd go up this ladder, he'd go up that, and 2 years old, climbing up the ladder. Well, here I am. Get down, boy! He's coming back down. I set him down. I said, okay, now go play. I run up the ladder and nail on that, and I go back up. There's on the other ladder going up. Lisa, just go home. Because I take him up on top of the house. 25 foot up or something. Set him down. Him 2 years old. Say, stay there, boy, till I get through working. He looked around. He said, Papa, I'm sliding. I said, you're not going to slide off. You got a foot on one side and the other. Because he knows I love him. You think I would have let him got in danger that I thought of? Well, he could have done this, but no. He learned a lot from that. See, we learn in our life. Let's stand. Come on. Come on, let's sing. And just one song. That's all right. We've got the communion. We'll just do it without it. We got everything's ready to do it. Let's just sing, I love him, and we won't have to come with the musicians. You know. But I hope you'll go home and study what I said. We're going to just go into the communion because that's the greatest opportunity of anything, to have the communion and foot washing. So let's just sing, I love him. If anybody has a need, we don't never want to have a service without giving an opportunity for prayer. Because that's, you know, I know you receive in your seat. It's also good to come up here too. You know, Brother Lee Vail said one time, said sometimes you're too close to your sickness. You need somebody else to pray for you. I love him. I love him. Because he first. Well, let's just pray. Will you see him, or you can take a prayer clock to him? Okay, all right. Let's just take and pray, and you go with this and tell him. Father, our sister's asking for someone else. We send this prayer clock, Lord, to someone that has cancer. We condemn that in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one that we've spoken of today, the great eternal God. We believe you, Father. Now go make it manifest in Jesus' name. Anybody else? It's my salvation on Calvary's tree. Amen. You believe it? You like turning your scriptures, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. So let's just have a few moments of silent prayer, just praying one for another. You pray for me, because that's serious. You pray that God will speak and give to the minister, you know, the ministry here, to work, that we can all speak together and speak of Christ and see Christ made manifest among us by the fivefold ministry, because I believe in it.